The way of the cross leads home. But even as believers, sometimes we don't want to go the way. We want to do our own thing. I thought about titling this message, Running from God. And then I realized, or was reminded, you can't do that. You can't run away from him. You can try to. You can attempt to run away from him. So I thought, okay, we'll talk about attempting to run from God. And think about that a little bit. So, we've all lived a decade or two. And we've had good times, and we've had bad times, we've had ups, we've had downs. Did you ever feel like you just wanted to run away? Just leave it there, whatever that it is, and go. And the fantasy was never more to return. Just get totally away from it. We probably all felt that way at one time or another in our lives. We want to get away from it. Whether it was a job or kids or financial stress or spouses or all the above. You know, we've probably all felt that way. Sometimes it's that way in ministry. You know, even though we only work 3 hours a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it gets tough trying to please so many people in just 3 hours and meet all their needs and keep them all happy. And sometimes, in some places, you get to the point where you feel like, you know, surely God's got somebody better equipped to lead this particular group of people. Been there and done that in years past. Not there today. Don't want to be there again. But truth of the matter is, sometimes we just want to get away from it. So, let's spend a few minutes tonight and just tag along and watch Jonah as he is attempting to run away from God. Now, we just finished a series of messages on the life of Joseph, and I love Joseph. I love Joseph because he's so encouraging. I love Joseph because he seems to always be able to rise above the fray. I love Joseph because no matter what happens to him, he's at that place where he says, but God. I have to admit, I like Jonah pretty good too. Not because he's always got it together. Not because he seems to rise above the fray. But because I can identify with that booger so good. You know, there's so much of Jonah that I can say, uh-huh, yeah, I know. Been there, done that. Wrote the second verse to the song. So let's think about it. Let's see what the Word says about Jonah in the beginning of chapter 1. We're going to spend about 4 weeks, I think, no more than that, just looking at Jonah for a while. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. That would be like God saying, go to the USA and identify its sin and proclaim the word of the Lord. Arise, go to that great city and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, some people interpret the book of Jonah as allegory, meaning each primary thing or each primary character can be interpreted and represents another character or another thing. And some people interpret it as parable, meaning that it's an earthly story with some kind of half-hidden heavenly meaning. We're going to interpret the book of Jonah as historical fact. Okay? We're going to just leave the allegories alone. We're going to leave the parabolic teachings alone. And we're going to interpret this as historic fact. And the reason I'm going to interpret the book of Jonah as historic fact is because that's the way Jesus accepted the book of Jonah, the teachings about Jonah. When the scribes and the Pharisees looked at Jesus one day and they asked him for a sign that would prove what he said was true, over in Matthew 12, 39 and 40, he said this, "But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.'" So for us to say that the account of Jonah is anything other than historical fact is to question the integrity of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he presented it as historical fact. And so to say that something other than this man was swallowed up by a big fish of some type. Now in Jonah it says big fish. In the Gospels it says a whale. So to say that Jonah, that anything happened other than Jonah being swallowed up by a big fish, spent 3 days and nights in the intestinal tract of that big fish, and then was vomited out on some beach somewhere, is to say that Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about at best, and at worst, that he's a liar. I don't go with either one of those. I think he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he is, in fact, truth. So what we want to begin with tonight is the understanding that God, in some form, spoke to Jonah. And then I want to say to you that God still speaks today. He speaks to you and he speaks to me. And as he's speaking to us, he invites us to join him in what he's worked. Blackaby says it this way: God speaks, inviting us to join him where he is. The word of Jehovah, the I Am, was heard by Jonah. Got that? God spoke, Jonah heard it. I don't know how God chose to speak to Jonah. He may have done it audibly, just like he did with Adam or Abraham. You know, they both heard the voice of God speak, and they heard him with their ears. They heard God speak to them. He could have spoken in a vision as he did to Ezekiel. Or maybe he spoke to Jonah in a dream type state like he did with Joseph when he told him it was all right to take Mary as his wife because that thing inside of her was put there by the Holy Spirit. Or maybe he just put an impression on the heart of Jonah, just like he does so much with us today. That's not the only way he speaks to us today, but he certainly does it an awful lot. The important thing is to understand and to know that God still speaks to us today. I was never more shocked, and unfortunately it happened right here in this building, when a man told me that God had never spoke to him. I was never more shocked than that. This was a man who claims to be a Christian. This was a man who, in his way, tries to serve God. But guys, you can't be a Christian if you have not heard God speak to you. Because you cannot be a Christian if the Holy Spirit has not drawn you by His power and His wooing and His impressing on your heart or His words to you. You cannot be a Christian without hearing God call you to Himself and hearing Him convincing you of your sin and of the righteousness of Christ and of your need for Jesus Christ. You can't come to Jesus unless the Father speaks to you. Jesus said that. And as much as God spoke in the Old Testament, He still speaks today. The problem with us, and one of the reasons I like Jonah, I'm not alone in this. The problem is that sometimes we just don't want to do what He tells us to do when we hear Him speak to us. I was saved just a few months before I surrendered to preach. Not because that's the first time I had been impressed by God and heard God calling me to be saved. Not because of that. He had been patient with me, and it had been a number of years. You see, the first time I had any indication that I might end up being a preacher was when I was 15. And since I said there was no way that that would ever happen in my life, I just decided I wouldn't be saved because He wasn't going to use anybody who wasn't saved. And so I not only ran from the calling vocationally, I ran from the calling of salvation. Not because God wasn't working, and not because God didn't love me, and not because God didn't want to bring me to Himself, but because I wanted to go the other way. I didn't like what He was saying. You see, my very best friend was a pastor, and I saw the heartaches in his life and the things that he and his family went through, and I didn't want any part of it. And I knew that if I ever got saved, I was going to have to be a preacher. So the easiest way to avoid that is not be saved. So we run in the other direction. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The Living Bible says in that verse, the last part of it, he says the wickedness of Nineveh is such that it smelled to high heaven. Nineveh was one of the major cities, one of the greatest cities in ancient Assyria. Nineveh eventually became the capital city of Assyria. It was located along the Tigris River in an area that we now know as Iraq. Tarsus was over 2,000 miles in the opposite direction from Nineveh. He wanted to get way away, far away. Nineveh had a population at that time in history of over 600,000 people. And God had a burden for those people. God had a word for those people. God had a love for those people. Not because it was a wonderful place to live. Assyria had, and Nineveh was right there in the midst of it, had a reputation of being one of the most cruel, nastiest places in the world. The Assyrians conquered many of their neighboring countries and neighboring cities. And history tells us that the Assyrians never kept their prisoners alive. There wasn't any POWs. They didn't keep them alive. History says that the norm was when they took captives in their conquest, they first would hold the prisoner or the captive down and they would cut out his tongue. And then they would skin them alive. And then after they were dead, they would take their skulls and they stack them up in pyramid shapes outside of the city gate that they had just conquered. God says, you go tell those people I love them. Pretend your name is Jonah. And hear God say, you get over there in the middle of all that and tell those those people, I love them. God tells us to do things sometimes we just don't really want to do. He might tell us to befriend somebody that you know and you just don't want to be around them because they're nasty, they're mean, they're ungodly. Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them I love them. He might want you to help out that nasty, mean neighbor instead of the nice one on the other side. You and I come in contact with people that need Jesus all the time. And just like Jonah, God has commissioned us to take the gospel to those around us. Just like he commissioned Jonah to go to Nineveh. And just like Jonah, too many times, as God leads, we don't follow. It makes us uncomfortable. It's risky. They might even tell us to mind our own business. So Jonah decided to go to Tarsus. Now, one thing is for sure. Going away from God is always going in the wrong direction. Jonah rose up to flee from to Tarsus from the presence of Jehovah. The person who attempts to flee from God, whether it's before they're saved or after we're saved, the person who attempts to flee from God is the person who is consciously refusing to serve God. Oh God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Go to Nineveh. Somebody punch me a ticket for Tarsus. Jonah made a conscious decision not to listen to God. It was not, guys, that Jonah didn't know what God wanted. When was the last time you made a decision to do what you knew God didn't want you to do? Oh, I never done that? Sure you have. Paul did. He acknowledged it. I do. Have. Did. Probably will. He made a conscious decision to run away from God. Listen to what the psalmist said about that in Psalm 139. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Jonah probably really didn't think he could get away from God, even though the text says he fled from God. He probably really didn't think he could get away from God. It's more likely Jonah was saying, I quit. I quit. I don't want to be a prophet anymore. I'm going away from this. Did that too. I was almost finished college and I said, okay, I quit. I'm not doing this preaching stuff anymore. I'm not going to be in the ministry anymore. I'm leaving. I packed up my family and moved away. For Jonah, God had a rescue boat in the form of a big fish. He had a rescue boat for me too in the form of another place to live. When we run away from God, we're always running in the wrong direction. And then, when we run away from God, Satan is always happy to provide transportation. He wants to get you there. He wants to get you out of the place that God wants you to be in. He wants to take you as far away from where God wants you to be as he can possibly take you. It says he went down to Joppa and found a ship. And some translations say the ship was going down to Tarsus. And it says he went down into the ship. Jonah kept going down, down, down as he ran away from God. When we are not doing things God's way, guys, it's because we choose not to do things God's way. It's not because we don't know. As we grow and mature in the Word of God, and as we grow and mature as a child of God, and as the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, and even when we're just brand new baby Christians, and we start off in this direction, and if it's something God don't want us to be doing, He's going to make us aware of that. Amen? And if it's where He wants us to be, He's going to confirm that in our spirit. The problem comes when we know what God wants us to do and we decide to do something else. Jonah found a ship. Let me modernize that. I went this way and the door opened for me to... One of the things that always scares me is when somebody says, I know that if God doesn't want me to do it, there won't be an open door, or the door will be closed, or this and that and the other, and that's not always the case. You see, the ship was there. It was ready to sail. It was time to go. The cargo was loaded. Everybody was getting on board, and Jonah was able to purchase a ticket, and he was able to get on the ship and gather up with all of those going away from where God wanted Jonah to be going. He found a ship. The truth is that when we decide to run away from God, Satan will always show us a ship leaving the harbor just at the right time, going anywhere other than where we ought to be going. Jonah did not go to Joppa to find a ship for Tarsus. He went to Joppa to find a ship going away from Nineveh. And his transportation was provided. We need to understand, and we need to be reminded, Satan will certainly help us be disobedient to God. Now, I find that most of the time I don't need any help in that. But just in case I do, he's standing by, ready, willing, and able to help me be disobedient to God, just at a moment's notice. And then we find that when we are running away from God, it's a downward spiral. Always a downward spiral. He went down to Joppa. The ship was going down to Tarsus. He went down into the ship. When we are running from God, guys, things will continually get worse. Now, it may not look like that in the beginning. It may look like an open door somewhere that I want to be.